Material by myself. I have to say that so that I don't get a strike thinking I'm playing someone else's music. This is a day that the Most High has made, and it indeed is a pleasure to be back with you, be before you doing what the Most High has called me to do and for us to do, to keep the Sabbath and to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, set apart. And this is a set apart day, so it's my prayer that you're enjoying your rest, you're enjoying your peace of mind, and that the Most High is blessing you and your family in these turbulent times of tribulation that we all are enduring. My heart goes out to so many who have lost loved ones, including myself, in the midst of this stupor with all the various things going on. May the Most High keep you so that you might endure until the end. We know upon the return of our Messiah. Many will be sleeping, but some will be alive to see the return of Christ when he comes through the clouds, and we're going to talk about that today. I'm not going to belabor the time today because I have quite a few things I want to share with you and just kind of expose some of the things that are going on in this world and have you be more prepared, not in the mindset that the world tells you to prep. Hopefully you've done that. You've got your food stored up, your water stored up, and things that you need in case you can't go out so that you don't have to become complicit with the stick and do the things that this world is suggesting. Excuse me, clearing my throat. Someone was criticizing me for clearing my throat. I told him I'm doing better than Biden. So that's going to happen from time to time. I'm glad you're prepping physically, but you also need to prep spiritually so that you can make it through what's happening all around us. Unfortunately, you've been taught things that were lies, and it was by mistake through Christian paganism about how things are supposed to unfold, and they're not unfolding the way you thought they would unfold, so you refuse to believe the time that you're living in, what's happening it to you, what's happening all around you, and also, more importantly, what you're becoming complicit to and what you're putting inside of your body. I'm not going to talk about those things today. Tune in on Wednesdays when we do Health is Wealth, because at the end of that podcast and that show, I always talk about what's happening through sorcery and pharmakia. We talk about what's good for you, what will help, and we talk about what's bad for you and what you're actually putting in your body and what it does. So you'll have to tune in to that particular show and that lesson to get better understanding as to what's going to befall us, what's actually going to befall us, and the ones that have become complicit with what the government and these mandates are pushing upon you. But we're not going to go into that today. Today is a day that's designed to, exhort, encourage, and increase your faith, because we want you to have faith over fear. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. We must hear the words of encouragement that come through the Holy Scriptures to help us understand what's happening all around us. You know, funny thing is that the books that were hidden from you that were told to you not to read with a word called, that's not canon, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, especially when you're awake. You were awoke to the lies that have been taught to us through Christian dogma. You find out that there was a group of Amalekites and Romans through the Vatican that got together and had a meeting and decided what books they weren't going to allow us to see and read, and hide it up under the Vatican, hide it in other areas, and tell you that it's not inspired by Yah. When Timothy said, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, that the man of Yah might be thoroughly furnished. Now, put this in context. When Timothy was writing that, there was no New Testament compiled yet. Timothy was reading Torah, the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees, the book of Enoch, as attested to in the book of Jude in the New Testament, Jude being Yeshua HaMashiach, who you call Jesus Christ's brother, whose entire book was about the book of Enoch. And then centuries later, you allow some people who killed lots of people during the Spanish Inquisition and stole our records to tell you what you should read and not read, and then furthermore give you 66 books trying to be funny using the number 6 and give you the majority of Paul's writings that Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:15 through 17. Paul's writings are confusing to the average man if they don't understand the Torah and the Tanakh, the books that also Christian dogma told you not to read. Forget about the Old Testament. Hence the trick of using old so that you'll say it's obsolete. Wake up, people. You've got to wake up. The book of Enoch in the first chapter tells you that this book is for a remote generation. So when you begin to read Enoch, you find out that he's prophesying to us in this time period. So it is with Esdras in the Apocrypha. So it is with the book of Baruch. I'll tell you this. I want you to do this once this lesson is over. I want you to go to the book of Esther in your King James Bible. Then I want you to go to the last chapter and verse of Esther in your King James. Remember where it leaves off. Then go to the Apocrypha, and you will find the book of Esther continues in the Apocrypha. They literally cut that book in half and then put it in another book and said that's not canon. I need you to hurry up and catch up, people. If you have not read your Apocrypha, the Book of Enoch, Jubilees, and Jasher, I need you to pull them out. And there's so many other books that you will hear about when you read the Old Testament, like the Kings of Judah and Israel, the Cave of Treasures of Adam and Eve, the Apocalypse of Moses. Today we're going to cover the Apocalypse of Paul. He had a glimpse of 10 heavens and the different realm and dimensions. I understand if you feel like you're an atheist or you don't want to believe because all the questions you had, the Christian church couldn't answer, the pastors couldn't answer because they had no exposure to this information. So when he says study to show yourself approved, he means turn the pages, go get every book. Don't go get T.D. Jakes' book or Joel Osteen's book. That can't tell you nothing. Everything they were teaching you was about prosperity and name it and claim it and you're going to be this and that, and now you're all suffering and starving and saying, well, where's the name it and claim it? Right now, I bet you don't even care about the big house and the millions of dollars. You just want to make sure you live and you have health and that your children don't die from what this world is trying to force upon them. So we got to get it together, people. We don't have much time. And once you begin to read these books, you're going to come into the understanding and reality of the times that we're living in right now. And it may help you to stop playing with the Most High and get serious about your eternal soul and your mortality so that you can prepare to meet your Savior and not your doom or a wicked fate that you can bring upon yourself. We're going to cover some of that today. And I lay down that foundation just to try and help us to lead into what we're going to talk about today. I broke this lesson up into three sections. And the last section is one of the titles of the show, of this message in this show, is The Problem with Our Young Men and Women. The problems that they're facing and the problem with this generation. And when I say our young men and women, I'm talking about from 12 all the way up to 35. This generation is suffering thanks to social media and reality shows. But it's going to get deeper than that. And we're going to come out of the book of Reuben, which is found in the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs by R.H. Charles, which is where I'll be reading out of. Reuben being, this is a wonderful book because what happens in this book is that the 12 tribes of Israel, their origin is of the 12 children that Jacob had, the seed of Jacob, which is Israel, our forefathers, our patriarchs. And right before they died, all of them died somewhere around 120 years old, including Joseph. When they knew it was about to be their time, they would summon their family members and their children around the bed because they knew before they left they needed to impart a blessing unto them, but also give them information they could carry with them for the remainder of their years. That's something we don't do anymore because we all fear death and we don't like to talk about it when we know it's near, which is a tragic mistake. It's an opportunity to get your last goodbyes in, your last commands, wishes, hugs, prayers, everything in. Please hear me. Especially seeing that I've lost two parents in the last 2 years, I was blessed with the opportunity to be by their sides when they both left. And now looking back in hindsight, that's truly a blessing that I wouldn't imagine would have happened or unfolded that way, but it did. Thanks be to Yah. So in this book, we have, we're going to go through Reuben today. Reuben gathers his sons around to tell him their mistakes that they made, to tell them not to fall into those same mistakes, and what happened when they made those mistakes and what they had to go through to right their wrongs along this journey. We can no longer approach life haphazardly, serendipitously, casually. Everything must be intentional. Intentional. What you say to your children, what you bring in your life, who you allow in your circle, who you cut off, and know that only what you do for Christ will last. So the first part I'm going to go through today is where we left off from last week, peace and safety part two. We talked about when they say peace and safety. And then the second part I'm going to cover today is that the angels are watching you. And you'll see how this all ties in together. It's all congruent. You'll see it ties in. After we cover that, then we'll go back into Reuben so that you can better understand what's happening with your children, your young people. You don't have to complain. Just know that the Most High is in control, and he's given us promises to help us get through these things. So without further delay, let's go into peace and safety part two. Peace and safety is based upon 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Why don't you turn there with me real quick? I didn't have that one marked out that I wanted to read, but I need to read it to show you where we were coming from. This is going to be prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So that makes it clear that we know this scripture is talking about they being the world, the government, the Gentiles, the haters, Yah's people, the children of Israel, his elect. So when the world thinks that they have finally gotten everything under control and they say peace and safety, that's when suddenly destruction. What destruction? The destruction of the return of the Son of Man that's going to come, that we're going to get into right now in Matthew 24. That's going to be the destruction. So the illusion is that man wants to play God and he wants to be the one to bring peace. With his antichrist government, his antichrist system, his antichrist, because there are many antichrists. Unfortunately, you're looking for one man as if he's going to appear on the Jimmy Kimmel show and say, hi, I'm here. No. And everybody's waiting for these mass places where they're going to put a chip directly in your hand and on your forehead and you'll see it and it'll protrude. No, you've been deceived. You've been deceived by movies, films, and misinformed teaching. I wish I could go into it today, but I'm not letting this page get a strike. I'm going to go into it on another show about how that thing that they call a chip is already inside a lot of people. It's already inside a lot of people. They are relentless about you getting this, too. Relentless. And I hope you understand that this is the end of September, and we're repeating everything we went through last year. We're getting ready to go into massive shutdowns. That's okay. They're trying to get us to a place where they have control and they're going to say now everything's at peace. We have peace and safety. We have global governance. We have one monetary system. We have one group of leaders that are leading us. We have one religion that everyone is following. So they're going to think they have everything under control through their geopolitical ways. And Thessalonians makes it clear. As soon as they think they have it, then sudden destruction. Let's go to Matthew 24, and we're going to go to verse 27. Verse 27 says this. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, coming of the Son of Man be? For whereso, listen to this, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. We're going to find out who those eagles are in a second, but when it talks about the carcass, let's be very clear that the carcass is talking about corpse. And when it's saying where the corpses are, it's meaning where the dead are, spiritually and physically. He's going to gather his eagles. Let's move to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Put things in context. You're looking for a rapture because you think you're not going through the tribulation. Unbeknownst to you, as we've been teaching for the last 3 weeks, we are in the tribulation in times of stupor. How do I know that? Because I went to the Apocrypha and read the book of 2 Baruch that breaks down the 12 parts of the consummation of times. And when you read the consummation of times and understand it, you realize where we are in time right now. That book of 2 Baruch, to go over it again, because repetition is the best form of teaching, is the beginning of commotions, Matthew 24, slaying of the great ones, many of our people dying, according to Revelations 12 and 24, the fall of many by death with everything they're utilizing around us, the sending of the sword, that's military, armies and threats, wars and rumors of wars, famine, the withholding of rain, California can attest to that. I don't care how it happens, even if it's through weather warfare. Earthquakes. Download the app called the USGS, United States Geological Service, and it will tell you how many earthquakes are happening almost every second around the world. A lot of stuff that's happening in the world is being hidden from you by media because they don't want you to see that the prophecies are being fulfilled. Over in the Euphrates River, over in a river near Jordan, the entire river has turned blood red. This is just like the times right before the Exodus, because we're getting ready to exit. And we were safely being protected in the land of Goshen, right outside of Egypt, while they were receiving the plagues, pestilence. Let me continue. There'll be terrorisms. That's around us. Specters and chitim attacks. That's an increase of demonic activity attacking the people and mental insanity. I know you're saying that, and people snapping. The fall of fire, rapine and oppression, protests, everyone just being oppressed, wickedness, unchastity. People are selling sex as soon as you walk out your door every day. They call it the Me Too movement, but women walk down the street with stiletto 6-inch pumps and no clothes on. And now they've got guys doing the same thing. Put your arms out. Wear tight crotch pants. Everybody's got sex on the brain because everybody wants to find some type of release from the pain and pressure of the tribulation. So they're unchastity. No chastity whatsoever. Wickedness all around us. Mingle it all together, and it's called confusion, and everybody's confused. This is the consummation of times. And you'll find it in 2 Esdras as well, but this is in 2 Baruch. And when you read that along with the book of Enoch, you begin to understand that we are in the tribulation. Don't sit up here and talk to me about a rapture when he said, I will gather the eagles together in verse 28, the eagles being the elect. He's going to gather us. So let's go back to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, pause one more time. Let's go. When you pause there, you go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3 that says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction, then jump back over here. After that tribulation is when they're going to think that they have peace and safety. But then here comes sudden destruction. It says, verse 29, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Oh, you thought you had it good. Here comes the Messiah. And the stars shall fall from heaven, because they've been lying to you about the stars and the planets from the very beginning. It said in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. That's it. And then the luminaries were created, the sun and the moon, on the fourth day. I continue and I digress. Back to verse 29. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That means he's busted the firmament open, which no man has gone through, and gone to the moon or any other planet. All these fake takeoffs that are going up, they're not going past the firmament. Prison planet. No one's getting off this earth. I digress. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth start crying. They'll begin to mourn. What have we done? The trumpet sounds like the last three holy days in the seventh month, which we call September, but the Hebrew month of seven. We have the trumpet sounding. When that trumpet sounds, it's the return of Christ. Then you have the weeping and mourning. People are atoning, trying to atone. It's too late. And then we have Christ coming to tabernacle with us. Feast of Tabernacles, which this today is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we've been in celebratory mode for the last 7 days, thinking about the first Exodus and the second Exodus, which is to come, which this is prophesying of. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Listen to verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together, not rapture. The angels are going to go and gather the people, his elect, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He's going to gather the elect. Now, everybody thinks they're the elect, but they are not. So everybody's not going. But you've been taught through Christian dogma, paganism, and lies from the Amalekites and the Romans that have taught these various religions that it was going to happen a certain way. You've been taught that the elect was a bunch of people that did something by works to attain. No, I'm going to tell you who the elect are. Let me tell you. Give me 1 second. So that I don't tell you, the scripture tells you. I'm going to read you 3 scriptures because scripture interprets scripture, not man. So let me tell you who the elect are. Isaiah 42 and 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon them. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Want to know who the Gentiles are? Go to Genesis, the 6th chapter. Not Genesis, the 6th chapter. I believe it's chapter 15, but it talks about the Isle of the Gentiles. So all Gentiles are marked based upon those lands that they came from. But here's the key scripture, Isaiah 45 and 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. Hello? So who are the elect people according to the prophet Isaiah 45 and 4? Israel are my elect. And your problem is, who's Israel? That's not Israel. Those are Khazars, who are implants and converts, because when Israel hits the land, he said, we will study war no more, and the Ark of the Covenant shall return. That is the most desecrated place in the world right now. They have the largest gay pride parade in the world in Israel now, with over 250,000 people every year. Those are not his elect, because they don't even believe in the Messiah, the majority of them. They're non-messianic converts that speak Yiddish and got there because of the Balfour Treaty, which was an agreement by man to place people there to deceive the masses. Who is the real Israel? Go read Deuteronomy 28, 13 through 68 and 69, and find out that the people that were in slave ships is the real Israel. Go find out who the real Hebrews are. Read the Apocrypha and see how they got to the Americas in 2 Esdras 13, 39 through 69. We are the people of Yah. This world is scared to death because we're waking up and know who we are. So let's go back to verse 31 of Matthew 24. When that trumpet sounds, he's going to come gather the 12 tribes of Israel. Thanks be to Yahweh. We're reading about the tribe of Reuben today, a little bit later on. I'll give you one more from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 65:9, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. We have an inheritance that's coming. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. No, some of you have been grafted in, but the ones who have been grafted in, you're not going into the inner courts. You'll be on the outer courts. Don't boast and brag against the natural branches, because we're making a comeback. The big comeback is coming. And you don't know what tribe you are of. But according to Revelations 22:14, you will be lined up when you're gathered in front of the gate that leads into the city, and it has the 12 tribes' names on it. And you will go through what tribe you are a part of that particular gate. If you're a tribe of Reuben, Benjamin, you'll be lined up to go in, the elect, through that gate. Now, the other nations who have been grafted in, they're just going to be glad that they survived the peace and safety destruction manifesto and that they made it in. Forget trying to be one of us, because you can't be one of Israel, Judah, Jacob. But you are grafted in, and it says that you will grab us by the fringes, coattails, and say, truly you are the sons of Yah. Take us with you, for we have heard that you are the true elect. Do you remember when we came out of Egypt? That we had strangers amongst us? Right. If you read some of the lost books, you'll find out that Jannes and Jambres, who were always going against Moses and Aaron, they realized that we had the power of Yah with us, and they left Egypt too. It was a mixed multitude. So throughout the 40 years, we began to weed some of them out, because as you know, that only Joshua and Caleb made it through, and they marched for 40 years until they killed off everybody that came out because of unbelief, disbelief, no endurance till the end. The majority of them were killed off. Let me say this real quick. This just popped in my head. You got to know that after the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign, Satan will be loosed for a little period where he will deceive a few people that are there and try to uprise again, and then with the words of Yeshua and the Most High, he'll be destroyed, and then he'll be thrown into the lake of fire, and so will the people that he will deceive. I have not read this, but he's not deceiving the 12 tribes. If anybody's going to be deceived, it's going to be the ones that made it, but that aren't of the 12 tribes. But I digress. I don't want to lose track of where I am. That was just something that popped in my head that I need to do more study on, and I'll bring it to you properly in its proper context. So now we know who the elect are based upon the precepts of Isaiah. So be not deceived, people, who the elect are and what happens when peace and safety comes. The people that are praying for the government to return, for Trump to return, for the patriots to return, to bring the world into order. You're going to get it. That's what I truly believe. You're going to get this peace and safety so that sudden destruction can come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with that, I close out peace and safety part two. We're going to go into, get ready to go into what's happening with the angels. And I want to tie this in, because in the midst of what we're going through in the tribulation, you need to be aware of the fact that you're being guarded and protected by angels. And many people don't realize that and know that. Your sins are being monitored. Some people call those angels snitches. They're not snitches. The Most High is omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing. And he sees everything you're doing. So now that you understand you're living in the tribulation, do you think you really have time to have one last physical conquest of a male or female? Are male upon male, or indulge in your fantasies out of your selfishness? Love your pride more than you love your parents. Love your pride more than you love sanctification and holiness and doing good and righteousness. Now you understand why you have to die to the flesh and be born again in the spirit and in the water through baptism and the filling, being filled with the spirit. Baptism continued with the disciples, and after the people were baptized, then the spirit would come upon them, either through the laying on of hands or just immediately. Acts 19, we see Paul asking righteous, upstanding men, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard of it. He laid hands on them, and they began to exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Spirit overcame them. A lot of you haven't had an encounter with the Ruach HaKadosh, and that's why you're still very carnal, and you're in works, superficial works. Keep the Sabbath, wear fringes, wear head wraps, do all that stuff, but you haven't been transformed or converted, sanctified and set apart through baptism and the Holy Spirit. Let me say this as I go backwards with a little of what peace and safety. Before every war, major war in the world, all citizens are always ushered into socialism and dependence upon a government through a tyrannical government and giving you checks and depending on them. So we're in the tribulation, and it's time for you to abstain, but you've got to stop being bewitched by sin and temptation. And you have to stop trying to see what everyone else is doing, because only what you do for Christ will last, and you must work out your soul salvation. But this world has been programmed to be sheeple and follow the masses. And that's the large road of destruction, like Christianity, where it's broad, but narrow is the way that leads to the kingdom. That means you go one by one. That's how narrow that road is. And my encouragement is that these angels have been sent here to guard you and guide you. And you are oblivious of their presence. Would you right now, as you listen to me? Probably standing behind me right now, but you can't see within that dimension in that realm. Going to give you scripture to back that up. First, before I go into the Apocrypha, let's go to Job, the first chapter. I think this is going to help you to act better every day. I really do. This is going to change your walk. This changed my walk. If you go to Job, the first chapter, and the seventh verse, no, let's start at the sixth verse. Job 1 and 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. That right there, Satan came also, should tell you that the sons of God is in reference to the angels. When you're talking about the sons of man, then you're in reference to humanity. But when you say the sons of God, you're talking about his initial creation, the angels. They were coming before the Most High, Yah, as they do every day. We're going to get into that. Verse 7, and the Most High said unto Satan, where are you coming from? Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Most High and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Most High said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? See, Satan goes around just all day long, him and his demons, his spirits. I'm not going to go into the Satan thing today, because I want to stay on point. We know Satan came down, and once he was cast down to the earth, he's stuck down here. This was a different time, different era. Also, I'm not going to go into the demons. We've covered that in the book of Enoch. You'll have to go into the archives and listen to the teaching on where demons come from. So the Most High said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? Like, you know, have you considered messing with him? And there is none like him in the earth. Listen to what the Most High said about Job. There's nobody like him. Do you think the Most High is not watching you and your actions to see if he can trust you? Uh-huh. And where he wants to take you,
He's been your whole life getting you there. Because he said, I know the plans that I have for you to give you an expected end. That is in Psalms. He knows the plans he has for your life. Your life. We fight against it our entire lives. We buck and rebel against what we're supposed to do because we don't want to surrender the flesh. We want to live according to the flesh. He said, Job is a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth Yah and escheweth evil, hateth evil, pushes it back. This just gave you a description of how you should conduct yourself, your life. Because Yah's looking at him, he said, look at this dude right here. He hates evil. He pushes it away. He abstains. He gets away from it. Are you abstaining the appearance of evil? Making sure your good is not being evil spoken of? The way you dress, where you go, who you hang with, your constant exposure to social media, the things you allow your eyes to take in. We're going to talk about Job's covenant with his eyes later. The programs you watch, the things that come out your mouth, how you talk. Let me pull this up for you real quick. Because I like to give you things to help out. We're going to pull up Shuith in Strong's. Not the American dictionary's meaning. Let's pull it up in Hebrew so that you get a better understanding. That's Hebrew 5493 in the Strong's. Give me 1 second. This computer is moving slow. So when we say escheweth, here we are. One that fears Yah, and literally avoid, to avoid and go out of the way, to avoid and to always decline anything that has to do with evilness. When you become like Job, a perfect man, you decline. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. To most people, to start abstaining and declining seems like a lonely walk. But how blessed it is to walk alone and walk with the angels and walk with Yah. To be like Enoch, who was until he was no more. He walked so close with Yah and cut everybody off until he didn't even see death. He was raptured. That's about the only rapture, him and Elijah. There won't be no other rapture. The gathering of the elect into another land, into New Israel. I need to get this in your head. I can't stress it enough. You have to start shunning the very appearance of evil. There's people in your life you've got to cut off, including family members, maybe even your children. You've got to be like, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Most High. It's painful. But is it not better to suffer now in the flesh, knowing that you're going to rejoice eternally, according to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter? Because he said, those that suffer with me shall reign with me. Your little flesh is petty. We're trying to kill this flesh. That's why we fast. Who cares about what this flesh wants? What does the Most High want and the Spirit want in order for me to see eternity? You think you just deserve eternal life because you paid no price? Absolutely not. Let's continue with Job. He feareth Yah and escheweth evil. Verse 9, check out Satan. Then answered Satan, the Most High, and said, doth Job fear Yah for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I want you to understand that through Job, his family and his children were protected. Yeah, you young people pay attention. Your parents walk with Yah. I've lost mine. They've gone on. But now I'm starting to realize some of the things they've done have protected me, and now I must be a protector of myself and that it is mine, and be a hedge and a covering. And what is that a hedge? We are compassed by the protection that's found within keeping the laws of Yah, because Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and makes wise the simple. We have protection in keeping his law. When you break the law, it separates you from Yah, because breaking the law is 1 John 3:4. Sin is transgression of the law. When you are in sin, you are separated from the Most High. And you got Satan talking about, I can't get to him because he's protected, because he keeps the law. And he's upright. He's perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. Remember, you heard that in the hood, right? You grew up with that. Elizabeth and Zacharias, the parents of John the Baptist, were considered perfect because they kept the laws. You can read it. How? Nobody's perfect. How are you perfect? You strive for perfection by doing something every day. And I'm reading these scriptures so that you might strive for perfection, knowing that there's something being written about you every day and taken before the Most High. And that book will be open when you're judged of everything you've done. And you either send the angels back to the Most High happy, or you send them disappointed. We're going to read it. You're going to see it. And you're going to find out even more so why they've hidden books from you. And you've been told, from pastor all the way on up through the commentaries, Christian commentaries, false prophets, that these books are not, stop playing with me. Satan said, I bet you if you take everything, he'll curse you. And then we know the rest of the story of Job. He gave him an opportunity to prove to Satan that, nah, this man loves me and he will stand. If you've been through hell and you're still standing today, give the Most High Yah some praise right now. Now I'm going to get into something that's really meaty. I want you to go to your computer or your phone, laptop, and I want you to type in the Apocalypse of Paul. And if you can't find it, it's okay. I'm going to read it to you. The Apocalypse of Paul was another writing that was hidden from you. And it coincides and ties in with 2 Corinthians 12:1-4. So let me read that first for you. 2 Corinthians. I said 12:1-4. This was Paul's vision. The Apocalypse of Paul coincides with this, 1-6 of Paul's vision. First verse says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations. So the Apocalypse of Paul is vision and revelations, and we get more in depth into it with that book. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. He said, I cannot tell if I was in my body, or I was seeing this in a vision, in a dream, or whether out of the body. I cannot tell. Yah knoweth such a one, caught up to the third heaven. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. You know, it's so real to me. Some of you have had visions and dreams like this, and it's so real. I still have dreams to this day from throughout my life that I can't forget. They just will not go away. Vivid, visual, very articulate was the speech in the dream, and it's still with me. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Paul heard things that he can't even tell you. Up in paradise, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Which is not, I can't even tell you about this stuff. Of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. He's like saying, I want to glory because of the things that I was allowed to see as I was taken up into the heavens. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay humble. But just in case, look what happened to Paul. I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me, or that he heareth of me. And so when you go on to read in verse 7, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He knows how man will worship man and put him on a pedestal, and how man will become arrogant from the information and knowledge he's attained. The more you know, the humbler you have to become. But look what the Most High did to Paul to make sure he stayed humble. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, to constantly buffet me. He had to struggle for the rest of his life. He was attacked, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Most High three times, please heal me. Please take this away. He's like, nah, you're seeing too much. I got to keep you humble. He said, don't worry. My grace is sufficient for thee, but my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hallelujah. Oh. Most High is saying, I got to keep you on your knees before you get too arrogant in this walk and want to live in your victories instead of basking in prayer and submission in your, I won't say defeats, but your trials and your warfare. Sometimes he's got to do things to keep you humble. I'm sorry. That blesses me. Okay, let's move on to the Apocalypse of Paul. I really want to share this with you. I hope this blesses you. Apocalypse of Paul in the third heaven, when he was in the third heaven, because he went to 10 heavens. You have to listen to Testament of Paul. This is the Apocalypse of Paul, and you can expand upon the book of Paul. There dwelt a certain nobleman in the city of Tarsus in the house of St. Paul, the apostle in the government of Theodosius, the worshipful king, and of the most illustrious, let me say something real quick, in your studies. When you see things about an apostle who was in the government of Theodosius, that's when you go back to historical texts, find out was there a ruler named Theodosius and what the climate was at that time. And then you get you an encyclopedia, and then sometimes you have to go into what they call mythology. A lot of things are hidden in ancient texts called mythology, so you'll disbelieve it. Yeah, folks, you're surrounded by lies. So it will confirm the scriptures when you read historical documents and texts, and that's studying to show yourself approved. Let me skip down because I want to get to the basis of angels watching and guarding with this Paul text and what we saw in Job, the sons of God going before the Most High every evening. So listen to this in the Apocalypse of Paul. For often the great light, the sun, has come before the Most High saying against men. Yah Almighty, how long do you endure all the sin of men? Command me and I will burn them up. People don't want to believe this is the sun talking to the Most High because the luminaries, which is the sun and the moon and the stars, were created on the fourth day. And there is a place, I can't share this with you right now. It's in the Apocrypha, where when they are disobedient and they hold back, they're coming forth to do what they were told to do. He brings judgment upon them. But you don't see it that way because you've been taught that we worship the sun. We spin around the sun. The sun is heliocentric worship. It's not like that. Here we see the sun in spirit. I know you can't conceive this. It's just like people who say, where did God come from? You know, because you're thinking in a state of mind, that's just like you. I thought about Sean the other day, how he likes to create Legos. And what if the Legos turned around and talked to him and say, well, who put you together? You're thinking about creation from a mindset that was created by something you have no conception of because you must worship him by faith, which is you must believe that he is and I am. That's all I'm going to do with that for now, because this text blows people away when they read it about the sun telling God, let me burn up man because all he does when I'm up is sin. It says, command me and I will burn them up. And there came a voice to him, my patience endures them all, my patience, that they may repent. But if not, they shall come to me and I will judge them. And often also the moon and the stars, luminaries, know that the stars are angels. fallen star. They have come before the Most High saying, Yah Almighty, you have given us the dominion of the night, and we no longer cover the thefts and adulteries and bloodsheddings of men. You know, freaks come out at night. Command us, and we shall do marvels against them. And there came a voice, my patience bears with them that they may turn to me. But if not, they shall come to me, and I will judge them. They will die, and I will deal with them then. And in the same way, the sea cried out, saying, Most High, the sons of men have profaned your holy name. That's all y'all do is profane his name, arguing over what his name is and who's saying Hiya, Ahiya, Yahweh Shai, Yahweh. You know what? You weren't even supposed to say his holy name if you're living in sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yah. But the whole, even the sea is crying, and the sea said to the Most High, I shall rise up and cover the earth like the flood of Noah, and wipe out from it the sons of men. And there came a voice saying, my patience bears with them that they may repent. But if not, they shall come to me and I will judge them. You see, you sons of men, humanity, that the whole creation has been made subject to Yah. Everything is subject to Yah. The sun, the moon, the wind, stars. He commands it. And they see all. Listen, but the human race alone sins before Yah. All of creation is obedient and subject, but the human race, we're the ones that like to sin before the Most High, because the church taught you to just show up on Sunday, repent, and then go do the same thing over again because you got grace. No, grace is for you to get it right, repent, make a 180-degree turn, not a 360-degree turn, to change your life around. And then grace runs out when you keep abusing it as the Christian church has taught you. Listen, I'm going to continue reading. For at this hour, listen, bless God on account of all these things you understand now. Bless the Most High without ceasing. Always bless him and praise him like the luminaries do. And yet more bless him and praise him when the sun is setting. Get ready for this, folks. For at this hour, all the angels come to Yah to adore him when the sun is setting. Where do we read that at? Job, the first chapter. Let me finish what happens when they go before him. For at this hour, all the angels come to Yah to adore him, and they bring before him the works of men, of each one, what he has done from morning to evening, whether it was good or evil. The angels that have been assigned to your life go back before Yah to bless him and tell him what you've been doing all day. I hope this is helping you. And one angel goes rejoicing on account of man when he behaves well. The angel goes back rejoicing. And another goes with a sad countenance. All the angels at the appointed hour meet for the worship of Yah to bring each day's works of men. You don't think my God don't have this thing orchestrated and together? Let me keep reading. But do you men bless Yah without ceasing? Do you constantly give him praise? Whenever, therefore, at the appointed hour, the angels of pious men come rejoicing and singing songs, they meet for the worship of the Most High. And behold, the Spirit of Yah says to them, why do you come rejoicing? And they answered and said, we are here from the pious men who in all piety spent their life fearing the name of Yah. Command them, Most High, to abide even to the end in your righteousness. They said, look, these pious men who praise the Most High and are grateful all day long, they asked the Most High to speak to them and tell them to keep up the good work. That's what the angels are saying. They'll go before the Most High in the evening and say, Yah, bless them again. They holding you down. They holding the kingdom down. Listen to what the angel said. To abide even to the end in your righteousness, please tell them to keep going. And there came to those angels a voice saying, I have both kept and will keep them void of offense in my kingdom. He said, I've already kept them and I will keep them. Void from offense in my kingdom. And when it happened, the angels went their way. And there came other angels with a cheerful countenance, shining like the sun. And behold, a voice to them, which have you come? And they answered and said, we have come from those who have held themselves aloof from the world and the things in the world for your holy name's sake, who in deserts and mountains and caves and the dens of the earth, in beds on the ground and in fasting, spend their life. Command us to be with them. And there came a voice, go and be with them in peace and guard them. I'm not done. Moreover, when they went away, behold, there came other angels to worship before God, the Most High, mourning and weeping. And the Spirit went forth to meet them, the Ruach. And there came a voice to them, where have you come from? Just like Job, the first chapter. And they answered and said, we have come from those who have been called by your names, Hebrews, the elect, and are slaves to the matter of sin. Those that are his elect that have fallen into sin. Why then is it necessary to even minister to them, said these angels. And there came a voice to them, do not cease to minister to them that break my laws. Perhaps they will turn, but if not, they shall come to me and I will judge them. No, sons of men, that all that is done by you, day by day, the angels write in the heavens, do you therefore cease not to bless Yah. From sunrise to sunset, every day, these angels are speaking on your behalf of your sins or of your good. Day to day. I hope that blessed you and I hope that changes you. There's much more in the Apocalypse of Paul. That's not my primary lesson. I wanted you to understand that while we're in the midst of tribulation, you're being kept guarded. They're with you. They were with Lot, got him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were with Joseph and his family. They were with Noah and his family. I'm saying this because I'm about to move into the young men and women so they understand what they need to be doing right by their parents and the patriarchs and those that have their spiritual covering. See, you could have these angels going back every night saying they just won't stop. This is why we're going to get into it in the book of Reuben. Judgment falls on so many. And they die before their time. There's a report, a decree going out on you every evening. Most High has this all organized. Satan's trying to copy him with his AI and technology and trying to see everything we're doing, trying to put stuff in people so he can monitor them. It'll never be like the Most High. That was Isaiah 14. He said, I will be like the Most High and I'll be worshipped. But it's a 5-point plan that's going to fit. Because we read in Enoch 16th chapter that those watchers that slept with women, sirens, and produced the giants and taught arts to men, he told them, I already knew what you were going to do. That little information and technology that you teach in man, that's nothing compared to what I have. I really didn't show you enough worthless things. So people, you've got to be true to yourselves and do right by yourselves, by mankind, family members daily, and bless the Most High every day. I got to take a break. That's so powerful to me. I hope it's powerful to you too. I'll be right back.
die young. More than fair use. That's a different track by my wife and I. We recorded that the Most High gave me these tracks that were indicative of the times that we're in. We're longing to get back to Zion, Mount Zion, and also the awakening just taking place amongst the children of Israel all over the earth. Okay, without further ado, we're going to go to the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs. Give you a second to go on the internet and pull that up. Testament of the 12 Patriarchs or the Testament of Reuben. And we're getting ready to go into this third portion of the lesson today, which is called The Problem with Our Young Men and Women in Our Society and What We're Struggling and Wrestling With. Reuben being one of the firstborn sons of Jacob, Israel, our patriarch, the tribe of Reuben, who should have, being the firstborn, inherited everything. But that changed because of some of the mistakes that Reuben made in his life. So let me start to read, and I will break into the reading with commentary from the scriptures as well. The copy of the Testament of Reuben, even the commands which he gave his sons before he died in the 125th year of his life. Reuben died 2 years after the death of Joseph, his brother, when Reuben fell ill. His sons and his son's sons were gathered together to visit him. Bloodline is so serious. And with your children and your sons. That's why I said, when someone goes home and you can surround them and be with them and they die at home, that's such a beautiful, blessed thing. That's why the world is trying to take that away from us right now. And people are departing here all by themselves. Verse 3, and he said to them, my children, behold, I am dying. I want you to see the maturity in knowing when it's your time and what you must do. I am dying, and I'm getting ready to go the way of my fathers. And seeing there Judah, Gad, Asher, and his brothers, he said to them, raise me up, that I may tell my brethren and my children what things I have hidden in my heart my whole life. A lot of folks tell me, I'm taking this to the grave. No, he's like, I'm about to tell you so you can learn enough, so you don't have to go through what I went through. He said, for behold, now at length I am passing away, verse 5, and he arose and kissed them and said unto them, hear, my brethren, and do ye, my children, give ear to Reuben, your father, in the commands which I give you, verse 6, and behold, I call to witness against you this day, the Most High of heaven, that you walk not in the ignorance of youth and fornication. And that's what's going on primarily. Our young people walk only in their youth and in fornication, wherein I was poured out and I defiled the bed of my father Jacob. He slept with his father's fourth wife. We're going to get into that. Lust is the problem. Verse 7, and I tell you that he smote me, the Most High, with a sore plague in my loins for 7 months, and had not my father Jacob prayed for me to the Most High would have destroyed me for doing what I did. He immediately received a venereal disease and was struck down. There are repercussions for your sins, and especially your sexual sins. If you made it past some, you better thank the Most High right now and give him praise. Because every time you jump into fornication and adultery, there will be consequences. Because we know now what? The angels have just written it down, and they're going to tell your daddy, yeah, when the sun goes down. My goodness. Let's listen to Reuben. He said, the Most High would have destroyed me if it weren't for his father, who he cheated on. He took his father's wife. His father forgave him and prayed for him and beg for his mercy. And listen to verse 8. He said, I was 30 years old. Now, living to be 130, 30 was young because he had another 100 years to go. He said, for I was 30 years old when I wrought this evil thing before the Most High. And for seven months, I was sick unto death. Verse 9. And after this, I repented with set purpose of my soul. For 7 years, he had to repent. Verse 10, he said, I had no wine. I stopped drinking wine. I stopped drinking strong drink. And I ate no meat, no flesh in my mouth.
and I ate no good breads, but I mourned over my sin, for it was great, such as had not been ever seen in Israel, sleeping with your stepmother. Whew. He judged himself for 7 years, no more wine, no more good meat, no more bread. It took him 7 years to repent after the 7 months of sickness almost unto death. He decided to judge himself before the Most High judged him. Is it worth it, brothers and sisters? Because y'all knows, and the angels are watching you sin. I'm sorry, I'm a little animated, excited in my voice because I'm trying to bring it home. That's the Vita preacher coming out of me. Now he talks about the seven spirits of deceit. This is where it gets good. And this is chapter 2. And now hear me, my children, what things I saw concerning the seven spirits of deceit when I was repenting for 7 years. Because no, through the midst of repentance, actually he was in a 7-year fast, so the Most High was showing him and revealing things to him. Verse 2, seven spirits therefore are appointed against man, and they are the leaders in the works of youth. Let's get it. Verse 3. And seven other spirits are given to him at his creation, that through them should be done every work of man. The first is the spirit of life, with which the constitution of man is created. The second is the sense of sight, with which ariseth your desires. Verse 5. The third is the sense of hearing, with which cometh teaching. The fourth is the sense of smell, with which tastes are given to draw in air and breath. The fifth is the power of speech, with which cometh knowledge. The sixth is the sense of taste, with which cometh the eating of meats and drinks, and by it strength is produced. For in food is the foundation of strength. The seventh is the power of procreation and sexual intercourse, with which through love of pleasure, sin enters in. Some of you are a slave to this. Wherefore, it is the last in the order of creation, and the first in that of youth, because it is filled with ignorance and leadeth the youth as a blind man to a pit and as a beast to a precipice. Our youth and some of you old ASS people are being led by the seventh spirit of sex and intercourse. When you should have gotten over it, that's why some of y'all age fast. Arthritis start kicking your butt, like, okay, judgment is on you because you just can't stop doing this. But let me read this again. I don't want to dissuade you from the goodness of how we see that this last sin, this last spirit overtakes young people, and they are led by it. And you can see it all on television, in the music, everything. There are no more love songs, mate. Only sex songs being led by Satan. It is filled with ignorance and leadeth the youth as a blind man to a pit and as a beast to a precipice. Chapter 3. Besides all these things is an eighth spirit of sleep, with which is brought about the trance of nature and the image of death. With these spirits are mingled the spirits of error, mistakes. Verse 3. The spirit of fornication is seated in the nature and in the senses. The second, the spirit of insatiableness, where you can't get enough, is in your belly, where you can't get enough food, gluttony, or sex, fornication. Your belly. This is why you must fast and just kill those spirits. The third, the spirit of fighting, is in your liver and your gall. This is why you see a lot of brawls happen when people begin to drink and become drunken with strong drink. The fourth is the spirit of obsequiousness and chicanery, that through officious attention, one may be fair in seeming. The fifth is the spirit of pride, that one may be boastful and arrogant. You know, in the book of Psalms, it made it clear. No, Proverbs. Let someone else praise you. Don't ever praise yourself. Wise words from a wise man. Let others give you accolades. You don't go around patting yourself on the back. I digress. The sixth is the spirit of lying in perdition and in jealousy to practice deceits, concealments from kindreds and friends. The spirit of lying is on you when you're hiding from your family and your friends about what you've done. See, let's take this back in context. Reuben knows he's getting ready to die, and he wants to tell his secrets to his brothers and his sons about the mistakes he made to forewarn them. You are selfish when you're saying, it's going to the grave. If you can't tell your children the mistakes you made and that you pray they don't make the same mistakes, what good are you? The seventh is the spirit of injustice, with which are thefts and acts of rapacity, that a man may fulfill the desires of his heart. It's a spirit of injustice on you that is constantly chasing your desires. For injustice worketh together with the other spirits by the taking of your gifts. And with all these, the spirit of sleep is joined, which is that of errors and fantasies. It's mostly at night when the spirit of lust and incubus and succubus comes upon you, or when you're laying in the bed thinking about, fantasizing, and about sex. You have to cast down imagination, says the scripture. This is why you don't need to fix your eyes on objects, but I digress because Reuben's going to get into it. Verse 8, and so perisheth every young man, darkening his mind from the truth and not understanding the law of Yah, because he's so wrapped up in the pride, fantasies, and sex, and following his insatiable desires that he don't want to keep the law. Not obeying the admonitions of his father, as befell me also in my youth, not wanting to listen to his father. Chapter 3, verse 9, and now, my children, love the truth, and it will preserve you. Hear ye the words of Reuben, your father. Pay no heed to the face of a woman. Let me say it again. Pay no heed to the face of a woman. Let me stop with that one first. This is why the fallen angels in Enoch 10th chapter and 15th chapter came and taught women how to beautify the eyelids, put on lipstick, and put on makeup. Reuben is warning you. Don't even look at them. Don't even be disheveled, dissuaded by how a woman looks. Because now with makeup, she can look like anything. And we also know now that when a woman puts that stuff on, she's being anointed by the devil and Satan to what? Seduce you. I'm going to let Reuben tell it to you. He said, don't pay no heed to the face of a woman, nor associate with another man's wife. Reuben said, don't even talk to another man's wife. And another man should not be in your wife's face. According to not just the warning of Reuben, the laws of the Most High. Because the wife, the man represents the family. She is a reflection of him. Another man pushing up on your wife, he don't need to ask her a damn thing. Go see my husband. What you calling me for? And let me say something real quick. This pertains to other family members, too, trying to find out about the man through the woman. I mean, let that be clear, too, because I am the head of this house, and you are the head of your home. And you speak on behalf of your home, and society has tried to twist that whole thing. Equal rights, equal pay, and all this other stuff. Then he said, nor meddle with the affairs of womankind. You're not even supposed to be getting into women's affairs. Reuben is warning. He's like, don't even meddle. Don't go to the beauty shop. Whatever they gathering abroad about and the gossip and all that, and even if it's on TV, I don't want to hear that. I'm not trying to hear all that. Reuben's giving fair warning. He said, for had I not seen Bilhah,
my father's wife bathing in a covered place. If I had never even saw that, he did just what David did with Bathsheba. He caught her taking a bath and looked at her body and began to lust and wanted her. He said, I had not fallen to this great iniquity if I had never seen that, if I had just stayed away. Verse 12, for my mind taking in the thought of her nakedness suffered me not to sleep until I had wrought that abominable thing. Meaning he fantasized about what his eyes saw until he could bring it to pass, and he got it. It consumed him. He said he couldn't even sleep. For while Jacob, our father, had gone to Isaac, his father, when we were in Eder, near to Ephrath in Bethlehem, Bilhah became drunk. She had a little bit to drink that night, and she went to sleep with no clothes on and no blanket. It says she went to sleep uncovered in her chamber. Having therefore gone in and beheld her naked again, I wrought this impiety with her perceiving it not. She didn't even wake up for her, from her drunkenness. And leaving her sleep, I left out real quick. So he got it on with her while she was drunk and asleep. Because she got so drunk, she fell asleep naked and uncovered. And he saw her naked again, and he said, now's my chance. And forthwith, an angel of the Most High came and revealed it to my father, what I did. You don't think that the angels that were in that room that watched it, marked it, and went and told Yah, Yah said, I'm going to tell Jacob. He needs to know this. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing that's done in the dark. It's not coming to light. It's going to be uncovered if the Most High wants to reveal it, because he knows. You're being watched. Angels watching. And he's going to reveal it. I've had the Most High. Listen, I'll just confess. I was in a bad previous marriage, and I could never get to sleep at night because everything that person had done was being revealed to me and told to me with a surety. I don't know why people think they're getting away with stuff. I don't even worry about that kind of stuff now no more after being through that and being confirmed, because I know Yah takes care of everything. He revealed to my father concerning what I did, and he came and mourned over me. Jacob didn't get mad at his son. I'm going to talk to the parents too. Be willing to forgive your children, because you got to keep the door open, because the Most High Yah keeps the door open for us through grace. Jacob came and cried over his son, like, why'd you do this, man? You messed up your life. That's the way he looked at it. Not like me. He didn't say, N-I-G-G-A, I'm a kid. No, he didn't do it. He mourned over him, but guess what? He didn't touch Bilhah no more. He was done with that. It's like, oh, no, you broke covenant. I'm not touching you no more. You're done. Let's go on to the next chapter. He said, pay no heed, therefore, my children, to the beauty of women, nor set your mind on their affairs. It was Job in the 31st chapter of Job. He said, make a covenant with your eyes and don't even look at another woman to, you know, he said, how dare I look at another woman to imagine what Reuben did in the book of Job, the 31st chapter, because he said, what if somebody's grinding on my wife while I'm sitting here looking at somebody else's wife? Or somebody's looking at my wife, fantasizing about grinding on her. He actually uses the word grind in Job 31. I'm not using urban colloquialisms. Listen closely. To the beauty of the woman, nor set your mind on their affairs. I don't want to hear it. Walk in singleness of heart and fear the Most High, and expend labor on good works, and on study, and on your flocks. He said, use your time doing good works, and on studying, and the possessions, the flocks I've given you, until the Most High gives you a wife, whom he will. This is good stuff he's telling his kids. Until he gives you a wife, whom he will. That's why he said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So that you won't suffer like I did in my youth, lusting and getting impietous, conquering flesh. Verse 2, for until my father's death, I had not boldness to even look at his face. He said, I couldn't even look at him after I did what I did, or to speak to my brothers because of what I did.
lives a life of shame, fasting for 7 years. Imagine not looking, couldn't even look your daddy in the eye because of what you did, because that is ruthless. He said, even until now, right before I'm getting ready to die, my conscience caused me anguish on account of what I did, my impieties. And yet my father comforted me much, and he prayed for me until the Most High, that the anger of the Most High might pass from me. And that's what we must do even now with our kids. Father, let your anger pass from them. Now I have been on my guard, and I have sinned not. Therefore, my children, I say unto you, observe all things whatsoever I command you, and ye won't sin. For a pit unto the soul is the sin of fornication. It separates you from Yah. The sin of fornication is a pit to your soul. That is the sin that will destroy your soul. For a pit unto the soul is the sin of fornication, separating it from Yah, and then it brings it near to idols. You wonder how you got into idolatry and witchcraft? Because of your fornications. Because it deceiveth your mind. Fornication deceives your mind and your understanding, and leadeth down young men into hell before their time. That's our young men and women who are deceived by sex. And this is why a lot of them leave here early. Not just through venereal disease, stray bullets, accidents, stuff happens. Sex, the fornication, the adultery leads you into idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery, which we see almost all of the young women playing with tarot cards and getting into Orisha crap, demons, because all they think about is beguiling men and leading them into sex and making men want them by getting implants, butt implants, breast implants, lip implants, and parading sex all day. It says, let me finish, six again. It deceiveth the mind, understanding, and leadeth down young men to hell before their time. Verse 7, for many hath fornication destroyed, because though a man be old or noble or rich or poor, he bringeth reproach upon himself with the sons of men and derision with Satan, with this adultery and fornication. Verse 8, for hear ye regarding Joseph, how he guarded himself from a woman, and he purged his thoughts from all fornication. And you young people think you can't do it. He purged himself from these thoughts of fornication. I rebuke you in the name of Yeshua. I cast it down. No. Whatsoever things are lovely and good report, think on these things. The whole world's got you thinking about sex. Everything in this world. That goes back to the tribulation of unchastity, specters, chittim attacks. Fans only. Joseph purged his thoughts from all fornication and found favor in the sight of Yah and men. Once he stopped thinking about sex, he started to get favor. Things happened when he walked away from it. Verse 9, for the Egyptian woman, she did many things unto him. You got to read the other books of Joseph to find out how far Potiphar's wife went to seduce Job. She went out of her way. But Reuben talks about it a little bit here. It says, for the Egyptian woman did many things unto him, and summon magicians and offer him love potions. That's Viagra today, which makes older men just crazy, and even young men are taking it now because of what it does to their body, and it feeds into their fantasies and their fornication and their desires. She was doing the same thing with potions, sorcery, witchcraft, pharmakia, pharmaceutical medicines. But the purpose of his soul admitted no evil desire. He escheweth all evil and sin. Therefore, the God of your fathers delivered him from every evil and hidden death. Why? Let's get this straight. Because he eschewed evil, got rid of the fornication of his life. In doing so, he found favor and escaped hidden death. This lets you know that death is on the trail of fornicators and sinners hiding in bushes. This is why we go to so many funerals and have unexpected death and be like, he died so early. What happened? What did he do? Chances are he was a fornicating heathen Gentile acting Hebrew, that the angels kept going back before Yah about every night about his exploits. I'm talking to you old folks too that's thinking about sex, sin, leaving your marriage, or whatever, or cheating on your spouse, everything. There's a death waiting on you. It's hiding in the bush. I got friends that I grew up in Christian church with that were married and just couldn't stop adultery and fornicating. And it would irk my soul. They were having sex with other men's wives. That turns my spirit, because that's breaking a holy covenant, because marriage is representative of the body of Christ and church. And the reason we're in so much trouble now is because of our idolatrous ways as Israel. We want to worship other gods. Even this white, blue-eyed devil named Jesus. In that picture, in that image. That's adultery. Verse 11. For if fornication overcomes not your mind, neither can Satan overcome you. Sex is not taking me over. Satan's not taking me over. Now get into this. This is going to bother a lot of you women, but so be it. Reuben said, for evil are women, my children. He's talking about since the fall of Eve, because she brought it back to Adam, because she opened herself to the seduction. And you're going to find out why he said this at the core. Because these women, the way they're walking around today, yeah, you're getting ready to see it. For evil are women, my children. Here's why. And since they have no power or strength over men, they use their wiles and outer attractions that they may draw men to themselves. They have no power, so I'm going to use what I've got to get what I want. Oh, you heard that in the movie, huh? Yeah, I remember. I saw it. Players Club, you got to use what you got to get what you want. All day, every day, women are in the mirror, vain vanity, to do these things. And at the core, it's because they have no power, but the power that they can usher over men by getting a man to look at them two or three times because a woman wants to get eye contact. If your wife always up in some man's face or trying to look at somebody, you got a problem. Get your house in order. Let me read some more of this. Since they have no power or strength over men, they use wiles by outward attractions that they may draw him to themselves, and whom they cannot bewitch by their outward attractions, him they overcome by witchcraft. Better watch that eating that spaghetti if your woman's still having periods. And make sure there's no candles and ropes up underneath your sink. And check these women a few times with this Orisha and these tarot cards and these crystals. For moreover, concerning them, the angel of the Lord told me and taught me that women are overcome by the spirit of fornication more than men. And in their heart, they plot against men. The spirit came and revealed this to him. Women think about sex more than men. So let's forget about Kevin Samuels' conversation, do they? Yes, they do. It's right here. I'm going to read it again. Lord told me and taught me that women are overcome by the spirit of fornication more than men. The angel taught Reuben this. And in their heart, every day, they plot against men. The angels told him this. They want to see how they can control you. Boy, it's hard to find a Proverbs 31 woman, virtuous, or a Titus 2 woman that teaches other women and children. We got women too busy wanting to teach men and find equality. Why? Because they're plotting against men, David. So when the outward attraction don't work because she didn't lost it, I used to be young and have all that. Now it's turned to evil. I control a man, and I'll use whatever witchcraft I can. I hope you hear the seriousness in my voice. So I'm crying out against Satan right now. Get your house in order. Let's get it again. They are overcome by fornication more than men, and in their heart they plot against men, and by means of their adornment they deceive first their minds, what they put on and wear. That's why I tell my wife in a minute, get out that mirror. Put that camera down. No selfies today. Here we go. And by the glance of the eye, they instill the poison, and then through the accomplished act, they take them captive. You see these women that be trying to get that eye contact with you, brother. That's that spirit on you. They just want to see if they can get your eye. I remember being with women that are no longer around me that be trying to look at a guy and see if they can get him to look. Or did he notice the way they, what they had on? All this green and blue lipstick and all that. They want the eyes. Let's read some more. In their heart, they plot against men. The eye, through the eyes, they instill poison. That's why he said, make a covenant with your eyes. Don't even look at these women. And then through the accomplished act, they take men captive. Hen, peck, simps, and wimps. And we got them all around here. For a woman cannot force a man openly, but by a harlot's hearing, she beguiles him. You can't force me to do nothing, but you'll keep trying to seduce me. Flee therefore fornication, my children, and command your wives and daughters that they adorn not their heads and faces to deceive the mind. Because every woman who uses these wiles hath been reserved for eternal punishment. You keep going to the Mac counter and the K and all that stuff and buying certain outfits and putting on all this makeup and the dress with the split and getting butt implants, breast implants. You keep doing it, and I'll read it for you again. Let me read it again. That they adorn not. He said, husbands, teach your wives and your daughters to not do these things. Don't be trying to fix everything up basically to deceive minds. Because every woman who uses these things, you're already reserved for eternal punishment. Mm-hmm. The ones you lusting after, brothers, on all the Real Housewives and Love and Hip Hop and all that, they it says right here, they're reserved for punishment. And you try to destroy your own self. Flee therefore fornication, my children, and command your wives and your daughters that they adore not their head. Okay, verse 6. For thus, listen to this. For in doing what they do, this is how they allured the watchers who were before the flood. For as these continually beheld them, they lusted after them. They made the watchers fall because they were trying to do these evil things to get their attention because they were like, who are these great men? They can go from the heavens to the earth and they're strong and handsome. They married trying to get the watchers' attention. And they did. And those women who made those 200 watchers fall were cursed to become sirens. Brothers and sisters, this is so deep. Okay, I'm going to read it again. I want to go back up to verse 3. For moreover, concerning them, the angel of the Lord told me and taught me that women are overcome by the spirit of fornication more than men, and in their heart they plot against men, and by means of their adornment they deceive first their minds, and by the glance of the eye they instill the poison. And then through the accomplished act they take men captive. For a woman cannot force a man openly, but by a harlot's bearing, she beguiles him. Flee therefore fornication, my children, and command your wives and daughters that they adorn not their heads and faces to deceive the mind, because every woman who uses these wiles have been reserved for eternal punishment, for they allured the watchers who were before the flood. For as those continually beheld them, they lusted after them, and they conceived the act in their mind first, the watchers, and had a conversation. And then they changed themselves into the shape of men and appeared to them when they were with their husbands. And the women, lusting in their mind after their forms, gave birth to giants. For the watchers appeared to them as reaching even up into heaven, tall, dark, and handsome. Beware, therefore, of fornication. And if you wish to be pure in mind, guard your senses from every woman. Stay out their face. Stay out their business. Stay from around them. The women are evil because they have no power, so they use what they got to get what they want. Man, that's why it said, who Paul said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. If you find one, you got the bomb. But, and that, let's remember, Reuben told his sons, the Most High will give you a wife, but wait. I say, wait. Wait. And I'll give you something above rubies.
Beware, therefore, of fornication, and if you wish to be pure in mind, guard your senses from every woman, and command the woman likewise not to associate with men. If you got a woman that's always up in some man's face, you got a problem. That they also may be pure in mind. For constant meetings, getting together, is just a business meeting. It's just a business retreat. Even though the ungodly deed be not wrought, that no fornication is there, are to them an irremediable disease, and to us a destruction of Satan and an eternal reproach. You can't even come out. I just had coffee. We just had wine. Stay up out these other people's faces. Whew, I'm preaching. I'm sorry. For in fornication there is neither understanding nor godliness, and all jealousy dwelleth in the lust thereof. That's right. You shouldn't even be walking around here jealous. The spirit of jealousy is a demon, and you have to get that off you as well. Because you're basking in the garden of lust, and you're just thinking somebody's doing something because you're wrestling with yourself. The spirit of jealousy is spoken of in the Bible, where a spirit of jealousy overtook a man, and the priest would go out and have a woman drink this water, and if she her calves and legs all swole up, then she was in fornication and adultery. That's another lesson I'll teach. I've taught it three times before. And that's why we see these women running around here with elephantitis, too, that are caught up in this sin of adultery and lust. They're cursed in their thighs, their looks, their accoutrements. It's in the book of Numbers. You'll find out about that spirit of jealousy that comes on a man. Okay, Reuben's got some more before I finish, because how much time I have? I just got about 10 minutes. Then he gave an exhortation to his children that they should obey Levi. He said, therefore, then I say unto you, you will be jealous against the sons of Levi and will seek to be exalted over them, but you won't be able to. For the Most High will avenge them, and ye shall die by an evil death. For to Levi the Most High gave the sovereignty, and to Judah with him, and to me also, and to Dan and Joseph, that we should be for rulers. Therefore, I command you to hearken to the children of Levi, because he shall know the law, and shall give ordinances, judgments, and shall sacrifice for all Israel until the consummation of times, which I read to you we're in right now, according to 2 Baruch, the tribulation. I adjure you by the Most High of Heaven to do truth, each one unto his neighbor, and to entertain love, each for his brother, and draw ye near to Levi in humbleness of heart. And then Reuben died after that. I'm going to give you a minute to take a breath, because I need to take a breath. The problem with our young men and women, there you have it. Book of Reuben and the 12 patriarchs. And the number one sin is lust, fornication, and adultery that leads people into a hidden death early. Either you want to make the kingdom or you don't. Either you're going to walk away from sin, lust, jealousy, doing the things the world is telling you. Women, especially you, women of the truth. You are not those women on TV called to fix yourself from being an evil woman who's constantly at war with men and trying to seduce him and use her sexuality to overcome a man who's made in the image of Yah, who's called to be righteous. You've got to reprogram your whole mind, woman. Young people, listen to your parents if they're righteous. Don't go around here calling your parents hypocrites and cursing them and their God. Humility of heart, because there's stuff out there waiting on you to kill you and destroy you. Number one being your lust and your youth and your improprieties and your not being pious. And the world is teaching you nothing but lust and rebellion. Kevin Samuels ain't got the answer. Yeshua HaMashiach has the answer. Facebook, social media, ain't none of those places got the answer. Brothers, get it together so you can teach the women how to do it, teach your daughters how to do it. We are the elect.
We got to live righteous and be separate. We don't have much time. We have to be holy and be Kodesh and change ourselves so that we will be counted worthy to be in the kingdom. I tell you, when we get to the wilderness, he's going to purge out 2/3 of us because of this right here that we refuse to let go of. And he said, I will purge the rebels. I'm going to purge them out. I'm going to purge them out. Citizens of the kingdom walk like Paul, who said, I ain't even getting there. My fool. Walk like Reuben towards the end of his life. And you walk like Job, who said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not even going there. Because Reuben looked at over the top and saw somebody taking a bath and lusted. David looked over the rooftop and saw Bathsheba taking a bath and lusted. Come on, brothers. This is the tribulation. You got to get it together if you want to make it into the kingdom, because your heart is going to deceive you and lie to you, and lust is going to overtake your heart. These women don't have your best interest in mind. These women be going around here trying to take a woman's husband because of the spirit that's on them. Reuben said the angels told him that women think about sex and conquering men more than women, men think about it. They're at war with us, and it's manifesting. Angels taught him that. So I just want to say and remind you that the angels are watching. They're looking and booking. That's my dad used to say in church. He's looking and booking. That just came to me. May he rest in holiness, power, and peace. He used to always say that. God's looking and booking. Well, he's absolutely right. The angels are booking right now. Hallelujah. Man, that's wonderful. The angels are writing down everything you do. You don't have a moment to say, I need to do something for me. I need to do me. No, you need to do this book, these laws, these commandments. That's what you need to do, and it don't stop. It's every day. And I hope now you can live day by day, because the book of James told us not to make plans for the next day, because that's your presumptuousness, thinking that you even get to see another day. Who the heck you think you are, making all these plans? You better get today right. And if you go day by day, you will live in perfection as Job. Because every day you're being the best you can be and the best citizen of the kingdom of heaven you can be. And you're abstaining from lust. Now, if you got you a wife and a husband, you better work it out right there in the house. And that's it. That's all. And it'll probably lead to a healthier relationship, because the problem with most relationships is both of y'all looking over the fence to see if the grass is green. Sound like an old Christian preacher now. That's been my time. Been listening to Cooper be the preacher. This has been Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. And I'm praying for you. You pray for me. We're going to get through this, because there's a kingdom coming. Find yourself a citizen by keeping the laws. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat Shalom. Peace and blessings to your family. Till next time.